today's been a good day. It's a day of rejoicing. I was surprised to see, it shows my faith. I think the Lord could look at me and say, "Oh, ye of little faith," when I pulled up to the parking lot and it was nearly full. And I am really happy to see your encouragement of coming to church and being here with the Lord's people. I have something on my mind to that, and it is a good thing. First off, I want to tell you I love you. I took two personal days and a vacation day to come here. People said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to church." "On your vacation?" If they just knew. I have a subject on my mind, and it's hope. And that word's used pretty loosely in the world of uncertainty. It's just a byword. Well, we hope to. But looking at the scriptures, for me, I found out that hope is such a more broader thing. It's something that we believe in. Whenever Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves. And this week I was thinking that the Lord gave them mercy by giving them coats of skin to clothe their nakedness. I got in just my little way of thinking that them clothes fit them perfect. They were tailored by the Christ. They fit them, and I can imagine they were warm. They felt the work that the Lord did in those clothes, and that was something that hope gave them. It gave them because they messed up. They sinned. Sin fell upon all men, and we're happy to be in the sights of the Lord. I want you to look at this real quick. This is my text. I'll get it real quick. 1 Timothy. The Lord's telling Timothy there's someone you can depend on. Paul's not always going to be there. He's not always going to be there. He's going to die. He's going to go the way of all men. But he's telling him that there's someone you can depend on. And his name is Jesus. That's why we come here. That's why we come to worship Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Billy got one of the texts I was going to do, "For I'm determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's all we should be worried about. Our knowledge in the Scriptures are great, but the main thing that we should worship is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Listen to what he tells Timothy. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God." That's pretty stiff right there. That's coming from the Lord. He says, "Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." I've been thinking about that text, and when people talk about hope, they never quote this text. But Brother David, he's our hope.
Amen.
A man came to my house one day and he said, "Brother Jeff," he said, "Mr. Mosley," he said, "if you died today, would you go to heaven?" And I said, "I hoped I would." He said, "That's all you have is hope?" I said, "Brother," I said, "my hope is in Jesus. My hope's not whether I live good enough or I do everything politically correct, but it's in Jesus." Because Romans chapter 5 says, "While we were yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly." While we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Listen to what Ephesians says real quick right here. You're going to find out real fast. This sermon is not written down. The God and I think that's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the kingdom of Him. That's what we worship, my friends. We worship a Savior that gives us hope of His kingdom. I like to think about heaven. I'm not ready to go yet, but I'm happy. I draw great comfort in thinking about what heaven must be like. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and to make all men the fellowship of the mystery, for the beginning of the world hath hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's something that we, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. Hebrews, this is what he says here. He says, then said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, and it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus was born to do his will. Jesus Christ came and died for our sins. That's something that we should always remember, that Jesus paid the price. He came when there was no one else. When there was no one else to die for our sins. There wasn't anybody that was spotless. That we were all sinners, my friends. But this man came and died for our sins. John says, behold the Lamb of God. He's the one that's going to die for our sins. Oh, I want you to know, my friends, that I'm so thankful to have this love in our lives, my friends. He says in First Corinthians chapter 15, he says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. For he says, if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. No hope. That's no hope, my friends. If all we have, if you look at a grave and you see them, and I can see my father and I can see my mother in their grave right now, if I had no hope that I'd see them again, I would be a man most miserable. But I'll tell you what, when I go to their grave, Brother David, I look at their grave and I say, someday I'm going to see you again. And you're going to be incorruptible and undefiled. No sin whatsoever. We're going to have that in our lives. I'm thankful for that God has given us the love. But he says, but now is Christ risen. They say that there's no resurrection. Some say there's no resurrection. But I want you to know, my friends, when someone asks you, if you die today, would you go to heaven? You tell them you hope so. Because your hope is in Christ Jesus. That's what we worship, my friends. When we come to these meetings, and the church I'm pastor of is called Little Flock. But you know what? There's a lot of little flocks in this building right now.
Yeah.
If we separated to all the little churches, Brother David, it would all be little flocks. But I want you to know, my friends, Jesus, He's in every one of them, giving us hope every Sunday. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. You know, Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, I believe it was, He ascended into heaven. In a body, Brother Sonny. In His body. Someday we're going to raise from the grave in our bodies, Brother Eric. These bodies right here. My cow valve is, I don't know if it's going to go to heaven or not. But I know one thing. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to be incorruptible and undefiled. I don't know what these old bodies are going to look like. But they're going to be glorified. I don't know, but I know Jesus is is in heaven right now at the right hand of God making intercession for us. If you need him to sit at the finished work of Jesus Christ, he's sitting. If you need him to be the intercessor of you right now, he's standing. Brother Philip, whatever you need Jesus to be, he's going to be there for us. Well, you know why? Because he rose from the grave. If we went to that grave today, you know what it is? It's empty. It's empty. And when they went to the grave over there and they looked in, it was empty, my friends. That's the best thing they found when they got there. If they would have looked in there, then Jesus would not be risen from the dead and we would yet be in our sins. Oh, I want you to know, my friends, I'm thankful they looked in there and that was empty. And that was empty. And he took a little bit of time before he went back to heaven. Those guys on the road to Emmaus took a little time with them. Took a little time with old Peter. Set him down and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Boy, he gave him some hope that day. Said, "Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs." And then he said, "Feed my sheep." And then one day Peter was praying, Brother David. Cornelius was praying. There were some sheep and some lambs to be fed. He, the Lord, told Peter, "You're going to feed Cornelius." And he preached Jesus Christ to Cornelius. And I imagine Cornelius' hope just expelled out of his body, my friends, because I'll tell you what, he enjoyed what he heard. You know what, my friends, I've never went somewhere there wasn't somewhere some people to listen to my preaching. As common as it may be, I love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. And whenever the Lord says go, go. Amen. The Lord says stay home, stay home. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, my friends, you do it. You do what he says. And I'll tell you, I've never gone somewhere that there wasn't somebody. I flew to Nebraska, to Hardington, Nebraska, about 10 years. Third weekend in May. I went there every year. Flew all the way to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. Jumped on a little plane. Flew back down to Sioux City, Iowa. Drove in a car with Brother Ivan Abbott about 70 miles. Went into a basement. 8 people. Do you know what, my friends? It dawned on me one day that those 8 people needed to hear Jesus.
Right.
Because they had a hope. They had a hope to hear some preaching. Went there one year, they all had the virus. There was like 3 people there. But you know what? I tried my best to preach to those 3 people. There's more than 3 in here. But I'll tell you what, my friends, those little churches need preaching to just as much as the big churches. And you know what, my friends? Hope is a great thing. Let me get over here real quick. I hope the Lord's in the matter. It's in Peter. And I know it's in here. Hope is like love. The Bible talks about hope being charity. So charity is love in action. It's one thing for me to tell you I love you. But Brother Sonny, it's another thing to hug your neck and tell you I love you. That's love in action. Well, hope is the same way. It's good, Brother David. But old Peter, he's writing this first chapter of 1 Peter, and he's talking about something that he found out through all his ministry of all the things that Peter did. Cut the ear off a soldier. Said, "Lord, no, not, far be it you go to death." And Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me." And right above that, he said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." The same Peter. Now he's writing the scripture. Feeding the sheep and feeding the lamb. I want you to know he's fixing to give us something. That hope is not something that you stick in your pocket and you get it out whenever you need it, my friend. But it's something we should apply to our lives to give Jesus all the glory and that we can give him, my friends. And I'll tell you what, you've done that this weekend. Listen to what he says. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ unto you. Peace be multiplied. That's humbling to me to think that a man loved me so much that he gave his life for me, Brother Philip. He gave his life for us. He sprinkled his blood on the cross. On the cross. That's where it happened. There wasn't anything other than that. It was on the cross that Jesus shed his blood for us. He was the mercy seat. He was the ark. My friends, he was that one that came from heaven. Now, like in John where he says, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah.
He would mess those people up. Every time he would talk about being from heaven and his father from heaven, and then he said, before Abraham I was, they wanted to put him to death. They didn't have any hope. They didn't have any hope. But oh, my friends, you've got hope. Because when you hear Jesus came from heaven, before Abraham was, he was. He existed before Abraham. You know, it says that, John says that he existed before he did. He was born before Jesus was. He existed way before John did. He existed before Adam did. He existed before Genesis 1 and 1. And that's when it all started. Because of peace and be multiplied, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Not something that sits still. But Brother David, it moves and it has being. It functions like faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Hope is the same way, my friends. You've never seen Jesus with your natural eyes. But Brother Philip, you believe in him. You believe in him. You've never heard his voice, but you love him. You love him. Why? Because he's given you a lively hope. Something that dwells up within you. I'll give you some lively hope. Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon after church, we go into a thing called communion. I've had all different effects in communion. As a little boy, I watched older men take care of the table, take care of the bread and the wine, and take care of the pails and the towel. They just took care of the stuff. Now I'm 62, and we take care of it. We take care of it. And the first time I took the bread, and I broke that bread, fly flew off of it. And it dawned on me that it takes violence.
That's right.
For that bread to be broken. Right. And Jesus says his body was broken for us. Right. Then I took that wine and I poured it in the bottles, and they made it harder for ministers now. We used to use snuff glasses at Corsicana, Brother Greg. They just pour it in there and it wasn't that hard. But now you got the little bitty bottles, it takes a little skill. But you know what, my friends? I wouldn't take them. If you offered me $1 million to not ever do communion again, you could keep it. It's the most solemn time that a member of the church, and if you're not a member of the church, you should join. If you love Jesus Christ, and you've got that lively hope dwelling up in your heart, and the lively hope tells you that Jesus is the Christ. And he died for you. And Peter said, with his precious blood, he died for us. Peter grew, didn't he? He grew from whenever he said, Jesus, thou art the Son of the living God, to right now he's writing these scriptures. The lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's lively hope. Someone tells you, well, all you have to do is give your heart to the Lord. You know what that does? That nearly makes me mad. Because I know what my Lord did for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for my sins. And when people tell me that you have to give your heart to the Lord, you know what, my friends? I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was without God in the world.
That's right.
I was without God in the world. But you know what Jesus did? He brought us in. Ephesians says we both have access. The Jew and the Gentile. We're all together, my friends. What a day that's going to be whenever we get to go to heaven. I'll get back to communion. You take that wine and you drink that wine. You remember that he shed his blood for you. And here's, for me lately in communion, this is the time that as I grow older, it's become more precious to me, Brother Tom, in the foot washing. Getting down at brethren's feet and little boys' feet. Little ones that have joined the church and they're sitting there and their legs are going front back. They just can't sit still. And they're just ready to do it. They get down and they wash each other's feet. Or whenever we had an older minister, Brother Sonny, and they couldn't get down on the ground. So we couldn't let them not do foot washing. So we put a chair there by their chair, Brother David, and we let them stand up and put their feet in that chair. That way they could do communion. We make provisions for you, my friends. Wherever you're at, we'll make provisions for you because we want you to enjoy this lively hope, this hope that's reserved in heaven for you. You're going to have a reservation there. You've got one. You're not going to get there and they'll say, well, we already give that to Brother David. You know what? David already had his own. But I'll tell you what, my friends. I grew up with David. We grew up together at Corsicana. His dad baptized, was my pastor. And he was a giant when I was a little bitty boy. And I'll tell you what, my friends, hope is a great, wonderful thing in our lives. It's something that we understand is with us. It's something that's not dead. It's something that God has given us in our spirit that when we get down and we worship and we serve each other in the church, my friends, I want you to know this lively hope, it's the greatest thing you could ever feel when you come into the house of God and you hear the singing of the saints and you hear the minister get up as a man doing the very best that he possibly can to preach Jesus and him crucified. And you hear a brother get down and you hear someone pray about asking God to remember us in our lives. Mm-hmm. Oh, this lively hope, it's a wonderful thing. And it's something that we can live for, my friends, all the days of our life. And don't ever think that you're too small or too insignificant to make a difference in the church. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you have this lively hope in you, you know what happens in the scriptures most of the time if you're reading it? Whenever they get born again, you know what Paul did after he was born again? He was baptized, my friends, in the name of Jesus Christ. When Philip went over to the eunuch, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, unless a man guide me? He said, he preached to him Jesus. No other man. But he preached to him Jesus. And he must have went a little bit further about Jesus. He just didn't preach about Jesus, the man. But he preached about Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Because he says, what hindereth me to be baptized? He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, my friends, he said, I believe. So he was baptized in some certain water. He was baptized. Enjoy your lively hope. And you are, of all the people that could have turned around and went back home. You know, the Lord told Paul he was going to Rome. He didn't say he was going to get there, but he said he was going to Rome. The Lord told you you was coming to the camp meeting. He didn't say how you were going to get here, but you made it.
That's right.
You know what you can tell the men? Don't worry. We're all safe.
Yeah, man.
You're all safe.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ. Thank you for your kind attention.